Hello. Today is Tuesday, April 30th. And it's not Mother's Day yet, but we couldn't remember when it is. So this is just your reminder to be thinking about Mother's Day before it happens.
Isn't it sooner in the UK, like a month sooner?
It's totally different. I think it's
Is
over.
it?
Oh.
Yeah. I don't know why that's different.
Well, here we do it in May. And then I use that opportunity to do gardening for my mom.
If you're in the US and your mom's in the UK, I guess you celebrate wherever she is. Is that the rule?
Either way, you'll be wrong.
You got to celebrate it twice, I can tell
Yeah.
you now.
Which side of the road do they celebrate Mother's Day on in the UK? That wasn't a good joke. Let's start
I
out
get it.
with
I ain't laughing, but
all right, just rub it in, Krista. Thanks.
it's just business today, right? Because business, so we got a bumper crop of business news.
Who was 40 minutes late, Krista?
I wasn't 40 minutes. I was 30 because I overslept.
2:43.
It's fine. Anyway.
Let's start out talking about Elon Musk because everybody loves it when we talk about Elon Musk, especially when it's negative.
Yes.
Literally everyone likes negative news about Elon Musk. We never get comments to the contrary. But hey, maybe you will, you sycophants will like this one because I think this is a net win for the
It
Musk.
definitely is. The Elon Musk has made a deal with the SEC not to discuss Tesla's finances without a lawyer's approval. So this still has to be approved by a judge, but the SEC and Musk have come to an agreement about what exactly he's going to tweet. And the bullet points in the article
Yeah,
are,
we got to take a look at those.
they're pretty, I mean, it seems like not bad. Like,
There's a lot of
it's like my free speech, but no, it's this is
Well, but
reasonable.
you say that, but if you go back through his Twitter, this is probably 30% of them, if
Yeah.
not more.
Like, oh, we're
So.
gonna acquire some company nobody's ever heard of, and it's just like, what? No, you can't say any of that. Nothing. Literally none of that.
Now, it might seem like not a win because you're saying, well, how's that good for him? Because really, this only limits what he can say. But this is probably in lieu of jail time
Yeah.
because he was held in contempt for doing what he did before.
Oops.
But are you telling me that the person who was supposed to monitor his Twitter before was not effective and now they have to hire a lawyer to do it?
Well, he was supposed to report to the board, but he never did. So they never got a chance to. So now there's a lawyer who must be the approval process for all
You
tweets.
think that's actually going to happen, though?
We could
Well,
probably build an app for this.
assuming the judge approves this. Now, there was that other thing. Was it the Tesla case where the judge threw it out because it wasn't enough punishment? It was one of the big tech companies. And when it got to, well, they made one of these deals. And when it got to the judge was like, no, not going to happen. Make it worse. But assuming the judge does approve it, since he's already had one risk of contempt, I'd say the first tweet that gets past that goalie, he's going to be in real hot water.
Yeah.
So,
I don't think he'll care, though. I mean, just based on his past behavior, but
Well, if he has
I
to go
could
to
be wrong.
jail, he'll care. I don't think the Musk man would survive well in county.
I don't think he would go to that kind of prison, though. I think he'd go to like fancy rich
Well, in
people
your
prison.
initial arrest, you have to go to county jail.
I always, these kind of agreements are always, I would think that there should be some language in here, like if you do this again, it's going to be at least this bad.
Maybe.
Because that would be, it's like, oh man, I can't tweet that because that thing's hanging over me.
We'll
That thing
see.
being the lawyer on like a wire, like he's a spy.
The lawyer of Damocles. Oops,
I
I pushed the button when I didn't want to. Let's also talk about Tesla's robotaxis.
the quote from Musk here, and this seems like a quote that would be banned under the new Twitter agreement,
Yeah.
was like,
Well, this wasn't tweeted. They had a like a event.
well, I mean, still,
either
but
way, he announced it to the
it was
public.
Autonomy Day.
Yeah, it's like by 2020 we're gonna have 1 million robotaxis on the road, and it's like, doubt.
X doubt.
Yeah. And not only did he say that, but one of his recent tweets and the risky tweets was somebody was talking about the devaluation of Teslas and how Teslas were not an investment because cars are not an investment. They lose value constantly. And he
Seems they
said
get off the lot, in fact.
that's not true because once we roll out the autonomous taxi mode, your Tesla will appreciate because it will be like a taxi cab medallion. And well, that sure seems like material guidance, doesn't it? But so he's really, really putting a lot of eggs into the old robotaxi basket.
If someone can afford a Tesla, like, do you think they really care about, making money on the side like
Well, if
that?
you get the $35,000
Wow.
one.
I mean, do we really think that's wise, though? It's like, No. If you're struggling to afford a $35,000 vehicle on the off chance that someday it might pay for itself, that's probably not a wise investment.
Oh, no, absolutely not. But I'm saying...
But you should buy anyway.
He's leading everybody to believe this is a sure thing. Now, they do have a new self-driving chip that is in cars. It's already in the new ones. I don't know when it started exactly. But if you buy one now, you're going to get it.
The Automation Day demo of the self-driving thing, like where they are with the new software or whatever, was genuinely impressive. But I wonder about how controlled that environment was or how many runs they did. And it's like, oh, we did 7 runs, and this one was the most perfect. All right, sounds good.
He also did it through a tiny town in Indiana with no hills and everything's on a grid.
He also left a little bit of an escape route there by saying that his timeline wasn't for regulation to catch up, just for the technology to be there.
I think also when he says 1 million vehicles, he means that Tesla will have produced 1 million vehicles that are capable of this, not that they have made 1 million taxis on top of whatever else they were making.
I don't think he's even talking about producing taxis at this point. He's talking about your Tesla through an app and a software update becomes part of the taxi network.
Well, obviously.
And he's only going to take 20 to 30%.
Generous.
The old steam route. Well, Elon Musk is a generous God. That isn't the only insane thing that he said at Autonomy Day. He also introduced this nugget, which, if this happened to me, I would probably shoot somebody.
Elon Musk says Tesla will allow aggressive autopilot mode with, quote, slight chance of fender bender, unquote. Now, this headline is completely accurate, but also slightly sensationalist, I would say, because he was specifically talking about driving in L.A. Driving in L.A. is like shoving a pencil in your eye. It's not a pleasant experience, and it leaves a permanent scar.
But it changes you in some sort of fundamental way.
But you should, when you're building something like this, everything should be on the side of safety.
That's true.
If there's any risk of that, then I don't know. I mean, it's the old argument of, like, do we take a few collision fatalities in exchange for rapidly? Because every time there's a fatality collision, that's a huge bump in the AI improvement.
Well, I think in LA, it's pretty common that cars will just tap you slightly from behind. I mean, it's like a less than 1 to 2 mile per hour collision. They're just like, I'm going to merge in this 3 foot gap. You will let me tap.
It's a love tap.
Yeah, basically. Maybe that's what he means.
A forcible love tap.
Unfortunately, that probably is, Tesla ownership is weighted toward the Hollywood hippie crowd. Right.
Well, I would think the software would also be super conservative. So if you have drivers in LA that are really terrible human beings, just the worst.
So it would be the only thing in LA that's conservative.
And so, you know, the Teslas wouldn't be able to get anywhere because all of the other drivers just wouldn't let them.
That was a political joke. I don't think you picked up on it.
That's fine.
Now, last week we talked about that Tesla that burned 2 months after the crash. Oh, no, it was in February. More than 2 months. No, that's 2 months. And people were like, oh, combustion vehicles, they burst into flame all the time, which is true. But the electric cars do get the headlines, and they continue to.
Tesla investigates a car that explodes in China. It's on fuego. So it's just parked in a parking garage.
Fuego in Spanish.
Look how festive that is.
Isn't the reason, though, that people are more concerned about this, don't those batteries burn way hotter and they're much harder to put out?
Yeah, and, well, I mean, I don't think they, I don't know if they necessarily burn hotter than gasoline, but they burn for a very long time.
Yeah.
And they can catch on fire after they've been put out, days later, in fact. This is, I mean, a car catching on fire in a parking garage, I'm not really sure that it's news, even if it's just because it's Tesla, but we will be waiting eagerly to see what the conclusion here was. Like, maybe they hit a piece of road debris and didn't notice right away.
We'll probably never hear about this again. China will just wrap that up because they have a deal with Elon Musk.
You know who this really sucks for? Mr. Audi right here.
Ooh.
Oh, bad day for him. Yeah, so the Autonomy Day, you would think, would be a big shot in the arm because he said a lot of crazy stuff. Seems like some big predictions. He got the clearance from the SEC. He doesn't have to go to jail. He's not going to get a massive fine. All good, right? But maybe, just maybe, the street is getting a little weary of Mr. Musk.
Ending a tough week, Tesla shares have sunk to their lowest in 2 years, according to Reuters. Well, I mean, yeah, the price has slumped 5% on Friday to its lowest in 2 years. This is not good. At one point, it was Tesla was had a higher market cap than Ford and
GM.
That is no longer true.
Yeah, and those companies aren't doing great. Although I think Ford had a really great quarter, that's why they pulled ahead.
I think that's a lot of analysts expected Tesla to capture the low end of the market with the $35,000 vehicles, but Ford and GM have come up with some compelling vehicles at about the same price point. And so people aren't wanting to buy electric because electric, they're wanting to buy the best that they can get for 35 grand.
They also still, I think Tesla's still working on that international rollout, which is not going well. So maybe all those sales will backload on the next quarter, but
yeah,
who knows?
Think Musk was quoted as saying that things will turn around in quarter three, not quarter two.
I think he said that in quarter one, about quarter two. But I don't even know if we'll even know by then because it's just like the news cycles back and forth so quickly. You never really know whether it's good or bad. That low attention span. The other big story last week was Apple and Qualcomm. The amicable reunification that shocked everybody. And perhaps we see why that happened now.
Apple allegedly plotted to hurt Qualcomm for years before it sued the company. Qualcomm presented internal Apple documents during its opening arguments in court that showed Apple's efforts to pressure it. Now, it's not like the way that the court system works is not like, surprise, here's all the stuff. Qualcomm's lawyers would have given all of that to Intel's lawyers ahead of time. So none of the stuff in the opening arguments would have been a surprise to Apple. But it is really interesting that Apple literally waited until the trial started to do it. It's nuts.
I guarantee they were trying to get a better deal up until the point where this started to be read.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, wait, hang on. Did they say anything? Did we get a call? Wait by the phone? All right, pull it. Let's do it. Take what they want. Give them everything because we can't allow this to happen.
Now, remember a couple of years ago when Tim Cook was all like, oh, individual privacy and we want to protect people from the FBI and blah, blah, blah. And it seemed like a very strong ethical position, let's say, that he was taking. This is happening under his watch. This is extremely unethical behavior on Apple's part.
Well, I mean, this, I don't know if it's apples and oranges, but that's like apples the consumer versus Qualcomm is another. It's like gang members who will only shoot each other, but not civilians. You know, it's like that kind of honor among thieves. But yeah, so the bullet points here were they knew all along Qualcomm had the best chip. They had confirmed it in a bunch of tests, and they planned a campaign to denounce that, say that's not true.
Yeah.
And they understood that Qualcomm's patent library was super valuable, and they needed it, but then they did the whole patent war.
Yeah.
They planned that. So none of this was, all those lawsuits were in bad faith.
Yeah, it was hideously evil. It was literally the most evil sociopathic thing that Apple could have done.
Oh, see, when you said Apple could have done, I was about to stop you and was like, Mr. Zuckerberg wants to disagree. And if you want to talk about hideously evil things that Apple does, maybe this puts you in the right mindset to talk about this story.
Apple cracks down on apps that fight iPhone addiction. So there are some, I couldn't read the New York Times version of this, but I saw a note somewhere else that these apps track and monitor screen time. And so it's like, hey, you're spending too much time on your device or whatever. And most of the applications, from what I could tell, were actually just very innocuous applications.
Oh, but here's the thing. So I also had to read a different version, but the other version actually pointed out the real story here. You think it sounds obvious. Apple doesn't want you using an app that stops it from using Apple's device. They want you on the device at all times. Not true. They were fine with these apps till Apple introduced their version of the screen time app.
The iPad has one.
Right, and, yes.
Yeah.
They did.
I found it on mine.
This happened with the flashlight apps. Remember flashlight apps? And then they added it to the tray. They're like, no, we don't need that anymore.
So their responses to this was all like, listen, we don't want you using your phone all day long. Also, probably not true. But the reality is, they just don't want competition.
The screen time, all it does is just send you a reminder, too. Like, it doesn't, like, lock it out or anything.
I think that's also happening with like the anti-blue light. Like after sunset, it tries to get rid of the blue light from your phone so it doesn't mess with your circadian rhythm. It's like, oh, that's built in now. You don't need an app for that. It's like, but I want to use an app. No.
I wanted to put those two stories first, which maybe puts this one in the proper perspective of intense damage control.
Technology needs to be regulated, says Apple CEO Tim Cook. No oversight has led to great damage to society, he said, completely unironically, in light of the findings.
I would know because I've done great damage to society.
Great damage to society, like everybody running around with shitty 4G modems from Intel. Does that count?
They use 60% more power or something crazy like that.
And destroy your battery, which is planned obsolescence.
It's like, no, you can't get between Apple and the customer's wallet. Anything that gets between Apple and the customer's wallet is problematic.
It's unethical.
Yeah.
He didn't go into a lot of detail here. Just, you know, hey, we can afford to be regulated. New startups can't. Got to be good for us, right? We'll pay you $1 billion just to keep everybody out of the market. Sounds good.
It would also be in Apple's best interest, like, if for some reason the government decided that, you know, the whole walled garden approach is the only way to manage security, Apple is in a better position to do that with their hardware ecosystem than pretty much every other vendor, which is a very dystopian future for PC enthusiasts or just computer enthusiasts in general. So not being able to run your own software, that seems insane.
Microsoft wants to go that way.
Right? Yeah, everybody wants to go that way. It's all about control.
Or money.
People listen to music online these days. Nobody buys physical medium. Nobody that matters. One of the problems with that, if you have high-end stereo equipment, is the bit rate is not great. Now, some people say they can't hear it. It's true that your ears degrade as you age. Perhaps it's just that, but there is a measurable difference in the higher quality music, obviously. So if you're one of those people who can hear a difference, maybe you're happy about this.
Amazon is prepping a high fidelity Tidal competitor. If you've never heard of Tidal, you're not alone.
It's a Jay-Z and Beyonce and Kanye's music platform.
The one that constantly over reports how many people are using it.
Yeah, because I don't think you could listen to Lemonade on YouTube.
And
Beyonce couldn't hide it.
Oh, but it's garbage bit, right? But also, I think half the artists on Tidal are suing it because they're saying they're not paying out.
Ooh.
So, anyway, this one is going to be, what was it, like 24-bit? When you get up
under specs in here.
CD quality is 44/16, and this one's going to be
Master's
something
quality.
/24.
24-bit.
16-bit is FLAC, if you've ever used FLAC files. But I do think that at those levels, when you get up to like a 320 MP3 or something, I have a tough time telling the difference. So maybe it doesn't matter to me, but some people care. So
maybe you're just old.
I'm going to have this amazing service, and I'm going to listen to it on a literal tin can.
But that is going to be 20 a month. I wonder how much inclusion they'll have. Every once in a while, I'll find something that Google Music doesn't have the rights to. So I wonder how much this thing will have.
How crazy would it be to sign up for like the Amazon stereo service and they like send you the stereo with the built-in Alexa and like all of the stuff, and that's just like a monthly fee? It's like, oh, I don't want this anymore. It's like,
but
great, send us your stereo.
There is no way the Alexa speaker is good enough to tell the difference. No chance at all. So this article, I suppose that a lot of people are surprised by this. This is not surprising to me. Even this doesn't move the needle one bit. Of course we knew they were doing this.
Amazon automatically tracks and fires warehouse workers for productivity. Documents show how the company tracks and terminates workers. So it's like, how many picks per minute or picks per second? It's like, did you move the packages from A to B? It's like, oh, your productivity doesn't match that of your peers. Get out.
And also,
PPS, your peepees.
Well, peepee is a good way of saying that, because it's not just picks per hour or whatever, but it's gaps. You don't want big gaps. So if you go to PP, you're risking
a gap.
And even if your picks are good, but you have a lot of gaps, they question that because your potential could be more. Pretty crazy and pretty Orwellian. They say, we are not robots, yet we are being judged by robots, which is true and poetic. Here's the thing about that. I feel bad for these Amazon workers. I really do. And I think it's a terrible way to live. And the jobs market in America, despite what the TV tells you, is probably not great enough that they can just pack up and do something else. But I really want this.
Amazon plans to make Prime shipping one day by default. So this is really incredible from a logistics standpoint. They're getting product, they're distributing products nationwide quickly. And it's not just their distribution warehouses. I mean, it takes a lot of work to get something into the middle of nowhere in one day.
Listen, a lot of warehouse associates are going to be pissing their pants. Is that a sacrifice I'm willing to make? Maybe it is. Am I a terrible person for that?
Probably.
Maybe I am.
This is an unsustainable level of commitment.
I ordered a package on Thursday. They say it's going to be here Monday. But when I check the shipping status, it has not shipped yet. I think they're lying to me.
Oh, no. As long as it ships tonight sometime, it'll be here on Monday.
We'll see, Amazon.
Although, I'll have to check it. I will say I've had one package missed by like 4 days. One missed by one day and then another one that missed by two. But it's only the Amazon carriers. FedEx and UPS, they're on their game. But these Amazon carriers, trash.
You can definitely tell when, like, if you're ordering a high margin item, it does not come by the carrier. Like, it's hand-delivered.
Yeah, it's all little stuff.
Yeah. It's like, oh, I need to order another, like, USB cable. It'll be here in 4 days whenever Julio gets around to it.
They know
yeah.
what they've got. We talked about the Galaxy Fold last week and how all the review copies managed to die in various ways, in horrible ways. And
not all of them.
And yet there's still a lot of hype on Twitter about them. I've seen the posts about them all week.
Yeah, well, iFixit got a hold of one, and as they want to do, they tore it apart and they found something interesting, or not.
iFixit's Galaxy Fold teardown reveals its biggest design flaw. Turns out the hinge, like dirt can get in the hinges. And there's actually kind of a lot to the story because Samsung has a Galaxy Fold folding robot that folds the Galaxies like 200,000 times, and it's fine.
But it's probably in a clean room.
Yeah, they didn't test it with like somebody...
In real world conditions.
Yeah, I mean, people are dirty, nasty creatures, and if the phone isn't completely hermetically sealed, it's just going to end badly.
I cannot imagine they couldn't have seen that coming.
Can you imagine like, you know, taking your phone in your pocket and then like crumbs just coming out of it?
Because... Apple just went through that thing with their screen.
Yeah.
With the dust issue. And that's a desktop.
Like, okay, so I've got this. Oh, yeah, there's just so much gunk in the microphone that's just nasty.
Take a cover off your phone, you're like, oh, what was happening in here?
Yeah.
What sort of disgusting thing? What am I? Well, iFixit, they did that, and The Verge is still covering it, but... iFixit themselves...
iFixit has pulled the Galaxy Fold teardown at Samsung's request. Ooh. So... My guess is, so iFixit didn't get their Fold from Samsung. They got it from a supplier. Like, we know that much.
Which is a smart thing to do if you're going to do what they do.
We think that Samsung figured out who the supplier was because Samsung didn't reach out to iFixit. The supplier reached out to iFixit and said, hey, I get in trouble here. Can you pull that down? And iFixit was like, okay, because they didn't want to lose their source of hardware somewhere inside of Samsung that is unofficial.
But everybody else is covering it. The Internet Archive version is still there. It's kind of a Streisand move.
Yeah.
Samsung has postponed the Galaxy launch.
I saw that.
So they clearly know something is wrong. Or maybe they're just using that short attention span. Just wait it out. Let everybody forget. And then be like, look at the shiny thing again. And everybody,
we fixed it. And then they didn't actually fix it. They just let dirt and crumbs get down in it again.
Remember when Google was angry about a bunch of stuff, mostly like there was women's pay and there was the Dragonfly thing. And basically,
they're just angry.
A lot of people at Google all of a sudden woke up and were like, oh, wait, are we building the Death Star? Should we be worried about this? And they were, and they had a walkout. And now Google has enough time has passed, the attention span has shifted, and Google has taken action.
Google walkout organizers say they're facing retaliation. There's a lot of anecdotal reports here, but for me, the most compelling one was her manager basically stopped communicating with her, and it's like, okay, fine. And then her team was reassigned. Okay, that's kind of weird. And then she got some kind of an email or something that was like, you're going to be demoted, and you should like take some sick leave and stuff like that. And it doesn't say why, but you can't just, like, there's labor laws, so... It's like, you know, obviously Google's not hemorrhaging for money, so it's not like a downsizing. And it's, you know, it's not a for cause kind of thing. There's no, like, HR for cause kind of thing. And it's not it's a weird situation. And so her lawyer sent HR an email that was like, can you explain? And they were like, oh, that we didn't mean demotion. We used the wrong word. But she's...
We just mean that she doesn't get to get as much pay and her team's being moved out from under her. And don't worry about that.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't know if the pay was affected, but it's...
I would think so if you're being demoted.
Yeah, she said that it felt like a very hostile work environment. And so on the employer's side, I could see that if you're spending all of your time causing trouble at the employer, that would be undesirable. But if it's like, hey, let's just do a back of the envelope check to make sure that we're behaving ethically, that doesn't seem like being a constant troublemaker.
But so in Google's defense, I bet these people are insanely annoying. There was also another woman. I don't think it was another. It might have been the
but
same
she's
one.
She's doing her job. Doesn't matter.
Like, she was working on AI ethics. Like, that was her thing. And they were like, you will no longer ever work on AI ethics again. You will work on something else to be determined later.
Well, that was like they're disbanding the AI ethics committee, but they didn't really. They just had all the people that were on the committee go to another committee without the other person.
Well, now there's a backlash to the backlash of the backlash, and Google is making concessions.
So the Associated Press is reporting that Google has updated its misconduct reporting amid employee discontent. This is the sexual harassment thing, not the dragonfly thing. So these are two different scandals that are going on sort of simultaneously. And outsiders, like, we don't know. Like, I don't know what to make of this because this has been so weirdly reported everywhere that is this just Google collapse in on itself due to, like, managerial overhead and having so many different people that are... I mean, if everybody's like nose down, it's like, I'm working for Google, I'm living the dream, it's probably good. But if everybody like pokes their head up and it's like, now, wait a minute, what are we doing again? They're going to start to have an opinion. And then that, you know, level of organization, just work on what you're told, sort of goes away.
Remember when the data cap, I don't remember if it was Comcast, but one of them had a data cap of 200 gigabytes. And they stated that Bill Gates' thing about memory. It's like, no one's ever going to use 200 gigabytes. Are you stupid? That's just not ever going to happen. Why would you?
Narrator, it did.
And we've now hit the point. Although the Comcast data cap is 1 terabyte, we have now hit this stage.
Comcast usage soars 34% to 200 gigabytes a month, pushing users closer to a data cap. Median usage hit 200 gigs, but Comcast won't say how many use a full terabyte. Yeah, they won't say because that number is a shockingly large number.
And they're making a ton of money.
If you look at, there's a bunch of reports from like Gartner and Nielsen, the Nielsen TV people of all people. Like, they don't have it really, I mean, they're struggling to adapt. But even the Nielsen people say that, you know, people that are using a terabyte a month, by and large, those are not media pirates. Those are people that have embraced Tidal and Alexa and Netflix and Hulu. And like, they've got all these subscription services. They are the whales of these industries where they're spending tons of money on all this new stuff, Steam, games, whatever. And it's not pirates and bad people. It's actually people that are trying to use this. So,
you know, because my parents are at that stage of their life where the TV is never off unless they're asleep. And sometimes they fall asleep watching TV.
Yes.
And so if you switched over to full digital TV and ran it around the clock, you're going to be pushing some pretty serious data.
Yeah.
So, and those are not like tech savvy people. These are people who struggle. When the router goes down, they are lost. But they could push a lot of data just because everything's going over the internet now.
Let's also not forget that Verizon and those companies will say that doing the fixed wireless on the side of your house, no wired infrastructure, and having a cap on that of like 25 to 50 gigs a month is totally fine for most people. Not so much.
The normies. The normies need their data now.
If all you do is check your email, that's probably fine. But if you actually want to use your internet for anything, not so much.
We have a very, very... What was the one that just did the IPO? Was it Lyft? No.
It was.
Was it Lyft?
I think it was Lyft, which is surprising. I'm surprised Lyft beat Uber to that.
Yeah. So I think the Lyft IPO went under the initial price, right? It was a little disappointing.
Yeah.
And so Uber is probably a little bit worried about that because they are about to kick off their own IPO. And you want that big valuation in the beginning. So this should worry them.
Uber drivers plan a strike to kick off 2019's most hyped IPO. These drivers are asking for, quote-unquote, a living wage.
Look at this image.
I don't think that sign is big enough.
It's literally like they just printed it off. It's like the basic Calibri font from Microsoft Word.
Well, they probably did it in the car while they were driving over. They don't have time to make posters, Krista. They're grinding out that Uber salary.
Listen, what if I need glitter? How am I supposed to take it seriously without glitter on your sign?
So, yeah, they talk about how Uber drivers used to make a lot more, but now there's more competition because more people are doing it. And they've introduced all these various fees and structures and stuff. And so they're not doing as well, and they want to be paid more. They want to be treated like employees. Same old argument.
In some jurisdictions, they have to be treated like employees, which is interesting.
But traditionally, they have not been able to band together very well because... how do you get in touch with other Uber drivers, right? Uber's not going to tell you who they are.
Yeah.
But they've formed some sort of thing to find each other, and they're trying to take this, you know, uniform action. Be interesting to see how many scabs there are, because in that kind of, like, you know, freelance mentality, don't you think people are just going to step up and fill in the gaps?
You'd think.
Well, we got some hardware news this week, but unfortunately for me, it's all laptop hardware, which I don't care about at all.
NVIDIA GeForce GTX 16 series Turing-based laptops assault mainstream gaming market with major OEMs. So finally, you know, those RTX cards, they got the big old silicon dies that make a lot of heat. Not the best for laptops.
But these are RTX off.
Yes, these are all RTX off. The GTX. So it's looking like the power efficiency and the performance is not really that much improved over the previous generation. A little bit, but mainly you get, I think, more memory bandwidth and a couple other bells and whistles, like a new, slightly newer silicon, but the new laptops are coming out, so.
But these particular cards that are out right now are only the high-end ones.
Yeah.
So unless you want a big, loud,
dual fan,
beefy gaming laptop, a slab, probably not going to excite you. But if you do want that big, beefy gaming laptop, and you want that sweet NVIDIA card, there's only one flavor that goes with that, and that is the hot new Intel chips.
Oh, it's hot. It's real hot. Intel's ninth generation mobile core chips aim for the high end, rocking 8 cores at up to 5 gigahertz, asterisk.
Yeah, that's a massive boost. Almost 2 times. Where's that table? Look at the boost difference. Now, that one's even more than 2x.
Yeah. I mean, 2.4 to 5.0. So 5.0 is going to be on like one core for a very little while.
Not enough for a Fortnite round.
We do love Fortnite here at Level 1 Tech.
Not running continuously, no.
And those are 14 nanometer because Intel... Well, now, what was the last 10 nanometer promise?
10 nanometers on track. It is completely
and that
100%
was
on track.
Late last year, early this year, right?
Yeah.
Well, I guess it's still on a very slow track.
Intel starts qualification of Ice Lake CPUs and raises the 10 nanometer volume expectations for 2019. So Anatech has got this article, and Intel's like, oh, 10 nanometers coming. There was a leaked roadmap, though, which is maybe like not the best. Yeah, so that's from Ars. So Intel is stockpiling 10 nanometer chips and warns that 14 nanometer shortages will continue. Now, one report I saw said that 3 of the fabs that were going to produce 10 nanometer wafers are now producing 14 nanometer wafers or in process of being retooled for that. And there's still one doing the 10 nanometers, but that seems kind of weird. And that leaked roadmap was like, yeah, 10 nanometers for some products, but we're still going to be doing 14 nanometer plus, 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 plus in 2021. So,
And this right on the heels of them getting out of the 5G game completely.
Yeah. I mean, what's going on at Intel? Things are
not a whole lot.
Well, I mean, you know, they still, even if they do nothing but 14 nanometers from now until like the next 6 or 7 years, they're still going to be printing a lot of money. Which is the other thing in that article that was really surprising is their loss for Q1 was $500 million.
Whew.
So they spent a lot of money on something.
Well, it's probably hot tubs for the rooftops of the offices.
But you're not allowed to party in the office anymore. It's no longer an orgy.
It's a party-free zone.
Yeah. They've learned their lesson. If you're a tech company... Yeah, you're afraid of regulation because the regulators are circling. It's like a pack of wolves just, they're right inside the tree line and you can see their little red eyes glowing. But the thing you really have to be terrified of is the normies catching on to your bullshit. Because once the normies catch on, it's over for you. And this should be concerning to them.
41% of voice assistant users have concerns about trust, privacy, and et cetera, a report has found. 59% are asleep at the helm.
Yeah, well, you got to think like this. They're already voice assistant users, which puts them on the lower tier. And so half of those, so the savvy people are not included here. But yeah, this obviously, and it seems like the big thing that pushed this was the headline about Amazon listening to your Alexa.
PSA also, if you've ever used the Google like voice dictation voice assist thing, and if you go to your Google account profile page, there's a good chance everything that you've ever asked Google to type for you, there's a recording of. You can download from your account page. Literally everything.
They had some other metrics about people, how they felt about the assistant and how like invasive it was, how much they trusted it, how much they liked having it, how useful it was. And it seems like for the most part, people are happy with them. They're just suspicious of them.
As you should be.
Yeah.
As, you know, how many
times? Do you really need it that much? Like
every other week on the Level 1 News, it's like police subpoena recording of thing. And it's like, was their digital assistant running the entire time and like listening to everything? That seems weird.
Alexa has to know. She's listening.
She's thirsty for data. Now here, I cannot imagine, and maybe I'm in my own world here, but everybody I know, what do you think is the percentage of Windows 10 users who used USB storage?
Seems like a lot.
I've got to think it's north of 60 at least.
Maybe 90%.
Yeah, that would not shock me at all, which is why this is kind of a crazy headline.
Microsoft blocks the Windows 10 May 2019 update on PCs that use USB storage or SD cards. Workaround: users must remove any USB storage device or SD card and restart the May 2019 update installation. So the more baffling thing here is when you install this update, it doesn't work. Or it cannot work if you have a USB device installed because it changes the drive letters, and the USB device might become the drive letter of your boot drive, which would break Windows. And so they're, rather than fix the bug, the fix for the bug is...
just don't have it plugged in.
Yeah, don't install the update if a USB device is present. Like, how... like, I know Microsoft fired their testers. Did they fire the people that knew what they were doing? Because it sure seems like it.
Can you imagine being the guy, and that comes across your desk, and you read the requirement, and it's like, well, you pick up the phone, like, hey, Bob, did I just have a stroke? Or did you just task me with checking to see if there's a USB or SD card installed before we install an update? Because I don't know where I am anymore.
Like, how is that a fix?
Like, we'll just give you another bonus. And he's like, okay, I'll do it. I'll have it done.
If you ever needed another piece of evidence that your operating system was built on sand, mud, and duct tape and bailing wire, there you go.
Yikes.
I'm one of these people. I believe that my plan is at the upgrade tier, or I'm past my upgrade time. I don't care. I mean, I get marginally excited about a new phone, but at this point, this one is servicing me perfectly.
Record number of consumers wanting to upgrade or are waiting to upgrade their cell phones. So customers don't care. The article cites price mainly, but also features. But the reality is that most of the time when people want to upgrade, it's because their battery life has gone to crap. If people could replace their battery, their phones would be perfectly usable. And in like our test lab, we're still using like the LG G5 and HTC 10, the Galaxy S8.
They just always plug in.
Yeah.
You can't unplug them.
Yeah.
That's the
you have to
problem.
Go stand over in the mobile device lab and test stuff.
There's a couple of them where we have replaced the battery, and it's been like, you know, $20 to replace the battery. It's just that it's too much of a headache to replace the battery. Like, it just doesn't matter. It's fine.
I imagine maybe among the younger crowd who plays games on phones, this might matter, but really doesn't have a huge... Now, there is that problem with... I think the arms race here is you need a phone that stays ahead of the tracking script browser demands.
Yeah.
But if you ad block and filter those out, you're fine.
It is shocking how bad of an experience that those tracking scripts make on mobile websites. It really, like, you can only have a few tabs open with those.
The speed tests alone are nightmarish.
Sometimes people do incredible things that are really stupid things to do. They don't solve a problem, really. They're just meaningless. And that's fine, because sometimes you're just doing it to see if you can, and that can move things forward. We didn't need to go to the moon. There was no reason for that, but it was a huge step forward for all of our science. And so, yeah, I'm not going to question that. But then when somebody does something like that, and then somebody else comes along and kicks over their sandcastle for no reason, you have to question that.
Nintendo has squashed the Super Mario Commodore 64 port, which took 7 years to make. Yes, somebody ported Super Mario Brothers for the Nintendo to the Commodore 64. And there's a video of it. You can still find it if you really dig around on it on the internet. But good Lord. I mean, good Lord. It's just completely nuts.
That's a non-standard title screen.
Don't let that go for more than 30 seconds, because we'll get flagged.
Oops. Oh, it's making noises.
Turn it off.
No.
So
we're not trying to steal content.
It is a very good representation of, graphically, because the Commodore 64 didn't have the horsepower NES
did.
This
is shockingly awesome that they were able to do this.
Yeah. So, of course, we saw later NES games that were much better graphically. So maybe not that shocking. Still, it took 7 years. Somebody put a lot of time into this. And you could probably measure the lost sales that Nintendo would experience from this in tens of dollars.
Negative dollars.
So it's like, how we always have pro tips? Here's your corporate lawyer pro tip. Phone up the guy as a corporate lawyer for Nintendo and say, hey, this is cool what you've done, but we need to dot some I's and cross some T's from a legal standpoint. I'm going to take an hour out of my day and I'm going to bill Nintendo $1,000 or whatever my hourly rate is. And we're going to give you a license for this Super Mario stuff. I need you to send me $35. You're going to license this for basically non-commercial use. We're going to drop this little contract. It's only for the Commodore 64, blah, blah, blah. And then you can distribute it for free on the one website that's on our list. And then, it'll be totally okay. It would literally take that lawyer like an hour or two to do that documentation. Everything would be legal, kosher. Everything's fine. Nintendo's not giving up their copyright or anything like that. Nintendo is a big enough company they can afford to do that. It is baffling to me that they don't do so. They always crap all over their fans with the streaming and policy. I mean, it's a terrible, terrible, terrible way for a company to behave.
The streaming I really don't understand, because it's like, that's just free advertising for you. Why would you not do that?
I think they have scaled that back a little bit.
Yeah, because they realized it was really dumb. Yeah.
It's free advertising for their stuff.
It was like sack of potatoes dumb.
But so is this.
Yeah.
Well, what isn't dumb is this amazing new system, because GPS is cool and I think we're over-reliant on it. It's like antibiotics. If it ever stops working, we're just going to be running into each other. There's going to be car fires at every intersection.
I learned how to drive with the giant Atlas. Like, that was what I learned to drive with.
That's a distracted driving these days.
Yeah.
But if, again, it can go away, it can be hacked. People can spoof the responses. It's things that are in the sky. Sometimes you lose vision to them. So what if we had a way that didn't depend on any of that? Wouldn't that be cool?
RCA postgraduates create an open navigation system inspired by insect eyes. So this is going to track your position using the sun. Don't drive a dart.
Pretty amazing. Yeah. Although it does work through clouds. Which is interesting. I'm not sure how.
The Vikings did that. The Vikings had some kind of a thing that you would hold up. And even on a cloudy day, they could use solar navigation, because it would show you where the sun was through clouds.
So there it is. I think you can buy a kit. It works with a Raspberry Pi. And it uses a camera to measure the distance between the horizon and the sun. And figures out where you are. It's completely open source. And it doesn't report to any server, because it doesn't need to. So if you're a prepper, or the zombie apocalypse, this would be huge. You'd have to power it somehow, but still.
Yeah, you can probably solar cell it your way through that.
How much navigating are you really going to be doing in a zombie apocalypse?
Crystal, you clearly never played DayZ.
Yeah, that map was huge, but like, realistically, shouldn't you already have like your stores built up at your house if you're a tree prepper?
No, well, this is not for the prepping phase. This is for the exploring and looting phase.
Of course.
Yeah, you only want to use the reserves at your house after you've depleted whatever reserves you can get from outside your house.
And you need to travel that far.
You need to, if you're going to range out, you need to be able to reliably get home.
Yeah.
So that's a ridiculous question, Krista.
I bet a lot of people wouldn't make it just because they can't walk places.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think some guy did one of those, you know how they have that little thing where it tethers you into place and there's a fully rotational treadmill under you?
Oh, yeah.
And he was just saw how hard it would be to run like you do in a video game.
Yeah.
And it's nearly impossible for all but, like, a Navy SEAL might be able to do it.
I'm just walking. It would take a long time.
It should be
you
a little.
You can make it places.
But in those games, Fallout 3 or Fallout New Vegas, you're moving at the speed of an Olympic runner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's just because gameplay would not be very fun if you're walking at a normal human speed.
No.
Well, neither would Apocalypse or Fallout.
Level 1 needs a new Patreon goal of, like, prepper prep something. Like, build a prepper.
We could buy that mansion that we saw on Zillow that has the, it has like a,
it has a radiation cave.
A
Patreon goal of 1.6 million.
Is that how much that house was? I couldn't remember. Yeah. It literally has a bunker underneath
it. I thought it was
it.
More than that.
Was it? Was it 2.6?
It was expensive.
Yeah.
That was pricey. I mean, for this area, that's a lot of
money.
That
was a lot of money. It was like a huge mansion, though, and it was like on a horse farm.
People watching this in Los Angeles are like, oh, so you're getting a two-bedroom? Is that?
No, this is a mansion with a bunker. And, like, all their dried food storage.
Not to derail an already long-running news, but my new fascinating thing is, like, in those areas, in the, like, California, it's like, oh, here's a brownstone that was originally maybe, like, 2,000 square feet. There are services now that will go in and excavate under that brownstone, like, 6 or 7 stories. And so you just have this palatial mansion where just the top floor is just a foyer.
What's the... You only own a certain amount down under your property, right?
Is that true?
What if you bought a property over top of a Hyperloop and destroyed it?
By accident.
Oops.
That would be so much fun. Bitcoin has gone up recently, although it's gone down a little bit lately. But are we stabilizing? Are we going back up? Who knows what's going on in the crypto world? But E-Trade is making some bets.
E-Trade is close to launching its cryptocurrency trading platform. Bitcoin and Ethereum are going to be on here. That's just, there's not really a lot of details.
Well, what more are you going to say about it? Buy and sell crypto on there.
Yeah, I get the feeling this whole article was like, this is all we know for sure. And then it just, everything
really
else is speculation.
We haven't really had a cryptocurrency section on the news in a long time.
Really, well, I've been mixing them in with business when they exist. It's not, after the big fall, it's not in the news nearly as much.
Yeah.
No one cares.
Also, just, you know, in the negative news, Bloomberg is now on the list of Outline.com blacklist.
No.
Unfortunate. And here we're just talking about why maybe Bitcoin is going down recently.
Bitcoin has dropped 7% on allegations of an $850 million fraud by Bitfinex, the New York Attorney General says. So the argument here is that Bitfinex was basically just playing it fast and loose with the money. Like, there's all kinds of money, just crazy amounts of money. And it's like personal accounts, Bitfinex accounts, investment accounts, trade accounts. It's all just one big thing.
Well, they have Tether. And Tether is what's known as a stable coin. So a stable coin is a cryptocurrency that is tied to the value of the dollar. So it can't go up and down like Bitcoin does. So it has the utility of a cryptocurrency, of being able to trade it immediately and, you know, all that stuff. But it's supposedly more secure. And they uncovered some documents where Bitfinex was like, whoa, we're getting a lot of redemptions. We're going to borrow some Tether money. That's supposed to be backing the stablecoin to cover these redemptions. No, that's not allowed. Can't do that, Mr. Musk. Remember MoviePass?
Oh.
MoviePass wasn't doing well. But some genius saw the barn fire that MoviePass was and said to himself, I'm going to start a competitor.
A competing barn fire.
And... predictably enough,
Cinema shuts down its U.S. movie ticket subscription service, S-I-N-E-M-I.
Cinema, maybe?
Cinema.
It sounds like a drug.
Cinema,
yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
It's a terrible name.
I thought it was just a play on the word cinema, but with an S.
Yeah, it does seem like that, but then that I.
It has an I, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I don't know.
Cinema, maybe.
Well, it was a MoviePass competitor. It's gone because MoviePass has shed 90% of its
yeah.
subscribers.
Doesn't matter what it was called.
CineMia has shed 100% of its subscribers.
And they made a press release and it's like, you know,
who knew?
We miscalculated. So, turns out you got to pay to go to the movies. Who thought? Who would have ever expected it?
Who goes to see movies hardly anymore?
Nobody, because what are they doing? They're sitting home and they're playing Fortnite. That's what everybody does. And they keep buying those skins and putting more and more money in the pocket of Epic Games and making them more and more powerful. And they're using that power, maybe, to make the world a better place.
Epic Games boss says they'll stop doing exclusives if Steam gives developers more money. He pegged it at 88%. I think 80 to 85% I could see Gabe doing. Especially if it's, you know, you make more than $2 or $3 million a year. Steam's like, 85% okay.
But I feel like this is sort of disingenuous because it's like, oh, when Steve does it, we'll do the nice thing too.
Yeah.
They're not going to do
that. Well, they are doing the nice thing. Theirs is what? They take 10% or 12% or something like that?
Yeah, it's a really small number to get people to use it.
I think it's 12 because that would be 88, yeah.
Unfortunately,
but they're offering another thing, but only based on what another company does.
I trust Gabe to be less sociopathic than this guy.
Yeah. Well, this is still a free service, and it doesn't... It's hard to quantify what's bad about it until you start looking into who owns Epic Games. And
their past behavior.
They're mixed in with Tencent.
Literally all of their past behavior.
Yeah, and so, I don't know. A lot of people hate Epic Games. I don't feel all that strongly about it. I think I downloaded it because we played... What game
Fortnite.
Did we play?
Fortnite.
Oh, we played Unreal.
Or Unreal.
Before that. Oh, and I don't think I've ever purchased a game on there. But now we got all these big exclusives. What is the... Cyberpunk. When's that game coming out?
Cyberpunk 2077.
Is that going to be
It
Epic?
Got delayed again, I think.
Oh, no. It was the one that's supposed to be the... what Fallout should have been.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
That one was controversial. There was some controversy.
My
fiance was super excited about it, but I can't remember the name
of
it.
I think the controversy was it's going to be an exclusive on this
service.
It
was not originally supposed to be, though.
No. They let Steam sell it, pre-order for a while, and then they were like, no more pre-orders. We're going here.
I can't remember the name.
Anyway.
It's going to bother me.
Oh, the comment section will take care of us there. Don't you worry. When net neutrality finally expired, it had been bleeding out for so many years, and finally the death blow came. And I personally wondered, how long will it be before they actually start to do this? You know, they announce it. They give you that fast lane. It's up for sale. And this isn't quite that, but they want you to believe that it is.
Cox Cable testing gamer network service to reduce lag. This is the fast lane.
But see, it's not the fast lane because it doesn't go any faster. It doesn't seem to do anything, really. It's supposed to give you a better ping for certain games because it finds a better route.
Well, here's how this is going to be implemented. Like, the network admins are going to sit down and they're going to look at it, and they're going to be like, all right, this person is paying for the service. If this person is sending traffic to, like, this whitelist of, like, 7 servers, it's going to go over this connection with a peering provider that's not garbage. Otherwise, it's going through all of your traffic. Is going to be routed through, like, Dan's bargain basement level 5 service provider, transit provider. And that's going to be routed through Outer Mongolia and then back to the United States. And that is going to be a terrible, terrible gaming experience with lots of packet loss. But that network is going to be the one that they spend the least amount of money on. Then they're going to pay for, like, a real internet transit provider to route your gaming traffic the other way. So it's just going to be, like, garbage tier transit provider and, like, a reasonable tier transit provider. Whereas right now, pretty much all the traffic has to be quasi-reasonable in terms of, like, the transit provider.
This doesn't help on anything except for games, and only certain games. They list Fortnite, Overwatch, and Apex Legends here. There are more, but if you're playing some obscure online game, probably not going to affect it. And it's going to be $15 a month.
Yeah.
$15 a month is...
trash.
Robbery. Yes, but I'm saying you could get internet service for that. You could get crappy. What do you pay for yours, Krista? You got the crappy tier.
I think I pay $60 a month for it.
Wow, for that garbage?
Yeah.
You get TV?
Nope.
Oh, my
just
God.
I just never...
You were throwing up for $80, you could get the good.
I literally I'm the sort of person who doesn't want to deal with him by talking on the phone, and that's how I'm getting destroyed.
Go to the local place, because they'll deal with you.
You're wasting so much of your own time. It's crazy. Just,
ridiculous.
I just don't want to go down there.
You don't even belong at this table, Kristen.
Don't let me talk to the guy at the cheese counter.
You need to hire a lawyer to negotiate you.
It'll be future Kristen's problem, because I'm moving in a few months anyway.
That's true. Then you'll have a whole new problem, which is you're playing Overwatch while somebody else is streaming from Amazon.
Oh, no. And then we're going to have like a weird connection problem.
Yeah. Well, Christy, you mentioned you haven't been hearing a lot about cryptocurrency. Maybe this will get you excited.
Nike files trademark application in the U.S. for CryptoKicks. What is this?
How hip is that?
Down. Wow.
That's a digital coin hanging out of a helicopter.
Is that what that is?
Yeah, and filming something from the helicopter.
Well, he should have a gun. Maybe the original illustration had a gun, and they were like, oh, that's too edgy for us, so they put a camera instead.
No one really knows what CryptoKicks is going to be, but they filed it as a 1B, which when you file a 1B patent, you're guaranteeing that this is definitely something that you plan to use very soon, as opposed to, we don't really have anything for this right now, but we came up with it, and we want to protect it. Now, this is like, we're ready for this.
The pumped up crypto kicks. Is that a thing?
That's a song. Good
All
job,
the
other
kids
Wendell.
With the crypto kicks.
That's it for the level one news. We've gone way over. I hope you're happy.
I haven't even looked at the time, but it is 56.
We added some new patrons that are all about the long news. So if you want more, I don't know what to tell you.
Well, I think you certainly put the implication in there, didn't you? We'll see you tomorrow.